Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, the week is flown by and it's Friday. Roo, how are you?
Man, it's a long weekend, you bloody beauty.
Righto. Let's just play a heap of long songs this morning and,
go on holiday.
Get into the long weekend.
No,
hey, Roo, last
so
night.
So much to talk about.
Now, Adelaide Oval was busy. I saw you down there with the season launch. How did it go?
Took me 50 minutes to get from my joint into Adelaide Oval last night through the city. It was just pumping.
Yeah, it's buzzing,
people,
isn't it?
People everywhere. Went for my little... what do you call it? Little run down Rundle Street.
Shuffle?
In my cart. Oh. Like a little, you know, perv sort of run to see what's going on in Adelaide. See, and it's pumping along there, and then tried to sneak my way back down past the uni to get to Adelaide Oval.
But it took you 50 minutes because you were perving.
No, I was just bumper to bumper, but I just like to go the scenic route
through Rundle Street
because that was my old favourite street when I was out and about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just cars and people everywhere. Yep. Adelaide Oval, yeah, it was pumping along down there, all set up for a deal. I took a photo.
Yeah.
I was going to put it on social media for Tex and Jackson saying they're getting set up for a deal. Yeah, the Crows had their show and Triple M had a function at Live
we
on 5.
We had our funniest tradie night and he was magnificent.
Was he
brilliant. He nailed it.
Oh, I thought I was nervous for Lewis.
I was too, but Lewis, he was superb. And Lawrence Mooney, very, very funny. Very funny. He was great. Set it up beautifully. We got to hear from Big Mal.
Big Mal?
He was down there too. He was down there too.
Gee.
Yeah. But Lewis was, we'll hear bits of it throughout the morning, but he was outstanding. He's got a career in stand-up comedy, no doubt about it.
That's good.
And Alice the Wag.
So we found him.
Alice the Wag starred as well. Yes, we've discovered someone.
What did Alice the Wag do?
Oh, she got up and told a funny story about Adele. She was very funny.
Bulldust.
She was hilarious. Yeah.
She didn't, did she?
Everyone wanted to meet the Wag, so we got her on stage. Yeah.
What was her Adele story? Can you remember?
I'll get her to tell it later. I won't steal her thunder. Big show.
So she's doing stand-up too?
Yeah, no, she's got a career. Yeah, we've launched her as well. Yeah. Hey, we're going to hear from the Angels shortly. We've got Mick Molloy coming up later on this morning.
Yeah. The week that was, Lawrence Mooney. Steve Price is out of the jungle. We'll have a chat to him.
Oh, the jungle will never be the same.
No, the animals, if we can go back, they can rest comfortably there.
They can. It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
What's making news?
A bit of underbelly news and a bit of normal news around at the moment. Sometimes we struggle to find top three things happening in Adelaide overnight, but there's bits and pieces at the moment.
We've got top 10, have we?
Well, we've got a few. Vince Foccarelli, who we now going by a different name. What's his name? Can you remember? He changed his name. Doesn't matter. Anyway, he's shutting his
Imran?
Shop.
Imran? Was it Imran?
Imran. Shutting his shop down because his restaurant that he had in the CBD, because it sounds like that's all cranking up, Dits, that
the deportation?
He's going to get deported. Mm. So the wheels are in motion there, unfortunately for Vince. But maybe fortunately for a lot of other people. Kate Ellis has come out yesterday and said she's going to retire from federal politics. She's a Labor member for federally, sits here in Adelaide and is married to David Pemberthy and is having a little boy and doesn't want to... Well, she's come out over 2 years before she's going to finish to say she's not contesting the next...
Oh, still 2 years to go. So she's not quitting immediately.
No.
Okay.
Finishing at the next election. That's the way I
wonder what the answer to that problem is, Roo. You know... We've come a long, long way, I think, with maternity leave and things like that. But there's no way around the fact that it's the females that have the children.
Yeah.
Clearly, she's decided she can't go on because she'll be away from her little boy.
It's 20 weeks a year, effectively. Mm. And, you know, can be some politicians do over 200 flights a year.
So what's the solution? Do we school these kids in Canberra as well so their mums can... Be politicians? I don't know what the answer to that is.
I don't know either. I haven't thought that deep into it, but I'd like to know someone who has. There was a good article written yesterday. We might talk about it next week or something. But it's if we're going to have a situation where we're only got a very small pool of people that can or want to do the job,
yeah,
we're not going to get anywhere near the best people doing the job.
So we could be losing our best... potential politicians.
I think would have to be.
Mm.
Yeah, it would have to be. So interesting that she's come out a couple of years before. I think it's a good thing. I mean, you've been critical of people not sticking out their term in politics, Dits, whether it's Corey Bernardi or Martin Hamilton Smith.
Yeah, it's inconvenient
whatever.
And it's costly.
Yeah, that's right, and misleading, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting there for Kate. Dominic Perry, who is the suspected NCA bomber,
mm-hmm.
His son's been done for, who's a lawyer, Northern Suburbs lawyer,
mm-hmm.
been done for growing out of underground bunker
right.
with hydroponics in it. They found a lot of guns on his property. They were all in a safe, mind you, and heaps of ammunition, but that's an interesting article that was in the paper. We spoke yesterday about the gunshots into the house. At Gillies Plains.
9 shots fired into a front door.
9 shots. That is a feud going on between the Hells Angels and the Mongols.
Oh, come on. Surely not.
Now, that's a surprise. I know you did. But Hells Angels and Mongols, formerly the Finks, that's a serious feud.
If
that's
they're
not,
having a blue,
that's not one
keep right out of the way, I reckon.
In fact, a neighbour was awoken by the fact his door got knocked on 4 times and for some reason decided not to get up. Now, that could have been an unpleasant lock if they got the wrong house.
Mm.
And BHP, this is an interesting one. We spoke about this the other day as well when we spoke about BHP's lost $137 million at Olympic Dam through power.
Yep.
All right. BHP have said if Australia doesn't get its act into gear with its costs, its expenses to do business, all those sort of things, they'll pull $25 billion worth of investment, in certain places if we don't get competitive with the rest of the world. Now,
right.
That is jobs, 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 jobs.
Listen, if that's not a wake-up call to politicians this morning.
It's a bullet over the head.
Yeah, please do something about this because that's critical.
Well, it's an Australian company with lots of Australians working there saying, we can stay here, we can work, but we can't stay here and not make money. Otherwise, our shareholders are going to, which a lot of Australians, are going to be filthy on the share price. So do something about it. Get competitive.
Ruin Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Last night down at the Adelaide Oval, live on 5. It was a huge night. Lawrence Mooney, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dits. Hello, Roo.
Well done. Well done last night.
Thank you very much. Live at 5 at the Adelaide Oval. It was great. And we met Adelaide's funniest tradie.
He was good, wasn't he?
People came up to me and there was a few people introduced themselves as, g'day, mate, I'm a mate of Roo's.
Oh,
anyone who says that, though, seriously, they look like
they got out of Yatla.
Got out of rehab. They're just like baked. G'day, mate, I'm a mate of Roo's.
That's my brother you're talking about.
Some tough units down there, aren't they?
Down there. But they all got goatees and tattoos.
Because I thought the Crows had a better class of supporter.
They said,
not like this mob.
they are shocking.
This is coming from an Essendon bloke whose new number one ticket holder is Mick Gatto.
Well, and they're changing the name of the Essendon Football Club to the Sopranos. It's gone very pear-shaped, hasn't it?
Let's go to our spokesman now, the Essendon Football Club, Mick Gatto. Yeah, I love it. That's good.
I thought we were going to have a clear run at the first round, but again, controversy descends on the football club. 2013, 14, 15 and 16, we've been dogged by the whole supplement scandal. You know, fines, we've sacrificed picks, we've been kicked out of the finals.
Coaches.
And now it's
underbelly.
It's underbelly. Underbelly,
no, it's
8.
We'll get another TV series out of it anyway.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I'm quite astounded by the whole thing.
Let's cut through the small talk.
Yeah.
Why? You got glitter on you because I can't stop laughing.
Where have you been?
Well, I left the Rhino Room.
It's not the end of the season.
With the best intentions of going home. Well, last night was a bit of a bucks night for me because my wife and child arrived today. And so
you better get over and have a bloody shower and a scrub. We might get the pressure cleaner on you, I reckon. Gosh, your pressure cleaner.
Yeah, I'll get the cleaners into the room today too.
The opposite of do not disturb.
Disturb, please disturb. Disturb everything.
Please make up my room.
Bring in a black light and a toothbrush. So I ended up going to the festival club.
Don't blame Adelaide.
Adelaide creeps up on you, though. It does. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, this lovely quiet town. Boom! You've got glitter all over your face.
4 a.m.
If you lift your shirt, will we find people have drawn on you in texture or anything? Or?
I reckon there's bite marks under this shirt. I don't want to take this shirt
I'll
off.
Get some I'll take some antibiotics.
Cigarette burns.
Sure. Get on some antibiotics for sure.
Coated down to the clinic. They, oh, did you sleep with a werewolf, mate? What happened to you? Code blue.
So any explanation about the glitter or not?
Can't remember much. I think I've got a spot in the gay Mardi Gras next year.
Now, listen, let's go back to last night, shall we? Lewis, the funniest tradie, got up on stage and he nailed it.
I don't understand what a not-in-service bus is. Like, if a vending machine is not in service, it's broken, right? It doesn't work. If these buses are not in service, why the f*** are they still driving around?
Correct. Yep.
Is it just so the driver can give you that little smirk as they go past? Like, what's the point? The worst thing is, sometimes they won't even tell you that it's a not-in-service bus. They'll just print some other cryptic little message on it and you have to figure it out for yourself. You've been waiting for 45 minutes, you see a bus in the distance, and you've seen so many not-in-service buses in your life that you can tell from really far away that there's not three words on the front. So you get excited, right? You stand up, therefore it's not a not-in-service bus. So you get pumped, you get your wallet out, here we go, you get your Metro card out, you start smiling, like you get really pumped, you start thinking about the bus, the air conditioning, it's gonna be f***ing sick, you're really pumped, the bus is coming closer, gets real close, and then it just says, Happy Easter, and keeps going, what the f***? You've wrecked my Easter.
He was very good.
Was he good?
Yeah.
How hard is it to do that first gig,
right?
It's actually not that difficult because you don't know how bad it can go wrong. It's your skill level is commensurate with the pain that you suffer when it does go awry. So he's got, you know, youthful exuberance on his side, and he did very well indeed. But it's very much a bus city, isn't it, Adelaide? Mm. It's your chosen form of public transport.
We got no tram. We got one tram.
You got one tram off down to Glenelg. So I've dropped all of my bus material in Adelaide because it just won't float. Because I think buses are trucks full of failed DNA. And I reckon if you're on a bus, you've made poor life choices, and that's your punishment.
You catch your bus?
I do catch the bus into the hills sometimes.
He puts the hoodie over and jumps in the back.
Where do you sit?
Because my car has a little sleepover sometimes in the city. Right. I do the sensible thing.
Yeah.
And I got sick of paying $140 for taxis. So, you know,
every
I figured $2.50 for the bus each way is better than
7 days a week times 140, $1,000 a week.
One week, I had to get the taxi three times up and back. It was $800. I thought, I can't go on like this. It's crazy.
The old tree changes wasn't working for you then.
We might be shifting.
Where do you sit on the bus? Because I reckon that's interesting.
A mate of mine's a bus driver, and he reckons that the seat behind the bus driver, he calls it the 69 seat, because 70 is the quotient of IQ you are deemed legally responsible. And anyone that sits directly behind the driver is not legally responsible.
Where do you usually sit?
No,
seriously?
Anywhere. No, not fussy. Not fussy.
You don't go the first seat on the right, or you don't go right
you're
down
about
the
middle
back corner?
On the other side, on the door side.
Yeah, I'm always a bit head down when I get there. I'm a bit embarrassed.
You're then obviously dusty.
You should be
and then you walk along. And of course, sometimes there's a hot chick.
Hello. Come on.
What does that actually mean? You're not going to crack onto someone on the bus.
No, we just have conversation.
Bus people aren't going to crack onto other bus people. They're looking for their way out.
I have to get her to take her. I've got to get her to take her headphones out first and then have a chat.
Oh, God. Hey, we're going to come and see you Sunday night anyway, Moons.
I'll tell you what, I reckon I'll be recovered by Sunday night. I will have had a bath, washed the glitter off, and
the wife will be here
vaguely
still
sobered up. Hopefully. Adelaide.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it anyway, man.
Thanks for coming in, Lawrence.
It's always a pleasure, never a chore.
And it was nice to see Big Mal down there last night, too.
It was great, yeah. He was in fine form.
He was
using some colourful language, too.
He did get a bit carried out. What about when he fell over coming up onto the stage? That was funny.
I think he'd had one too many white wines, even at that stage. Or a Sangiovese.
Good on you, Lawrence. And good luck. If you want to see Lawrence Moody down at the Garden of Unearthly Delights, when are you on until?
8:15 every night until the end of the festival. So,
beautiful.
Yeah,
do yourself a favour. Get there.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
We've had a big, big week again here on The Breakfast Show. Here are some of the highlights.
The top five things we've learned on Ruin Dits this week.
Number five, we learned that the next time big, tough footy player Jackson Trengove goes to Adelaide Oval, it might not be to play footy.
No one from Port would be going to the Adele concert, would they?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. My missus is trying to rope me into to getting along, but...
What do you mean trying?
Well, I think I'm going, lads. I think I'm going. I'm in a bit of strife. My partner's wrote me in over Christmas just to saying, I'll just get a couple of tickets. And I thought, that's
great. So you actually bought the tickets?
I paid for them, really. I didn't say.
The deeper we dig here, the more I think we're finding out that you actually quite like
I'm an avid fan. I'll have her T-shirt on. I'll be there singing along.
Even Crows captain Taylor Walker will be there singing along.
You wouldn't be hunting down Adele tickets by any chance, would you?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Speaking of footy players singing badly, we learnt that Roo won't be filling in for Stevie Nicks anytime soon.
You can go your own way. Is that it?
Not really.
Hang on a minute. In his defence, let's listen to it again with the music. Should sound better.
You can go your own way. Is that it?
Oh, that's much worse.
Number three.
Hello and welcome to Ultimate Guinness World Records.
We learnt that Dits may have broken the world record for the world's shortest diet.
You have this milkshake thing for breakfast, but I wanted 10 of them. Come lunchtime, felt like I was living in Ethiopia or something. I was dying. I needed a feed. Got to day two, I grabbed the whole box.
Big Mac.
And I threw them in the bin. They might as well give me a cardboard box full of air. But anyway, that was our health segment.
Tune in to Dit's health segment next week, where he talks about eating ice cream in your tracksuit pants. Number two on things we learned on Ruin Dits this week, we learned that our Prime Minister, Big Mal Turnbull, had a great time last weekend.
Mardi Gras, what was it, last weekend?
People were criticising me for not appearing, but I was there, Dits. I was incognito. For the first time, the Liberal Party had a float in the LGBQTR. Themed at Toy Story at the behest of Christopher Pine. He was Woody. In more than one way. Oh,
I wanted to be a surprise for you.
And the number one thing we learned this week, Roo's family won't be getting any bigger. Or will it?
Look, you've got to keep the lovelies happy, don't you? Sometimes you just,
sometimes
you've got to buckle.
You just do it, I know.
You've got to buckle. When does the cat arrive, Roo?
Just after Easter.
So,
look, the only reason I've got a bloody cat is so we don't have another bloody kid. All right, so we're going to give Sarah a cat,
right.
Cuddle it, feed it, put a nappy on it if you have to, breastfeed it, whatever you got to do. We're not having another kid, so we've got a cat.
Fair enough. Isn't it? When you look back, it's a very informative show, isn't it?
Yeah, we learn a
you
lot
learn
about
so
that,
much,
didn't we?
Yeah.
Heaps of hard-hitting stuff. Yeah.
Oh, there is.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, I just read you this headline a moment ago, how the CIA can hack your iPhone, Android and smart TV and listen into you. Now, this has been leaked by WikiLeaks, which has got a fair bit of coverage around the world in recent years, and they're basically saying the CIA can watch us all the time and listen in.
Scary.
The conversations in your house.
Yeah.
I can't believe this.
Yeah.
Let's find out more. Our tech expert joins us, Trevor Long. Longy, good morning.
Morning, gents.
How realistic is this? If I'm sitting home with my wife watching TV... Can the CIA really be listening into me?
If you're on the CIA watch list, yes.
Hell.
I mean, that's the critical thing here. If they want to target you, they are doing everything they can to. And all this leak does is prove that. And I've spoken to security experts this week who go... Yeah, of course it's happening. You know, every country is doing it. Even Australia's spy agency is likely doing this kind of thing. So
really?
What they're doing is they've got thousands of people dedicated to trying to find problems, I guess you'd call it, with iPhones, Android phones and smart TVs, because once they find a problem, we call it an exploit, they send a little bit of computer code in and they try and listen to you or hack you or monitor you, and that's their challenge in life.
So even if you're a criminal or a crook or whatever you want to call it, they are allowed to do that, are they?
Well, when we say allowed, I mean, this is the CIA.
Can they use the evidence in court then?
I don't know how the CIA works, to be honest. I think the CIA just works in the point where they discover information and then you disappear off the planet. Isn't
right.
that how it works?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's in the movies,
but we hear all the time police have arrested someone because they tapped into their phone. So
yeah, well, that's a whole different ballgame, right? So the normal law enforcement agencies are not using these technologies. This is super this is super Bond stuff. You know, this is high end. We're talking 20,000 devices were listed in this WikiLeaks thing, which sounds like a lot, but there's billions of devices in the world. So it's actually a very small number, but it's alarming to think how much they were able to get into. And it's just a very good reminder to keep your software up to date.
Trevor, how does the TV part of it work? This suggests that there's a microphone or something somewhere within the television set to be able to listen in to our lounge rooms, surely.
Well, a modern TV, you know, your LGs and your Samsungs in the world have voice recognition. So you can, I can sit in front of my TV, and let me be clear, I've never done this, but you can sit in front of your TV and say, okay, TV, put on Channel 9.
Okay.
And it will hear you interpret that and put on Channel 9. So it's all about, you know, laziness and simplicity.
Yeah.
And so all they're doing, because our microphone exists, they're going, well, hang on a minute. Can we get in there and listen to that thing? And they're sitting there with big headphones on going, oh, he's talking about Game of Thrones.
Can I say, make Port Adelaide win? Can I do that?
Yes, right. Yeah, it'll change the ABC.
It'll change the channel, Hey, Longy, what about, I've heard some stories with social media, Facebook, things like that, that they can gather a lot more information than what probably a lot of people think as well. Can you tell us about, little things people have to be wary?
Have you ever been searching on the internet for, I don't know, a new pair of shoes or something, and then for the next week, all you see on websites around the world and Facebook are ads for that exact pair of shoes? Because every website, almost every website, carries a little bit of tracking code from Google and from Facebook so that they can learn more about you.
Yeah.
And they have a profile of you. It may not be associated with your name, but they have a profile of you that allows them to know pretty much how old you are, where you live, what your interests are, and that's how they target advertising at you. And if you're really honest about it, that's much more scary than the remote chance of the CIA wanting to listen into my boring conversation.
Now, there's another question that comes out of this, I reckon, and I know not three of us aren't experts on it, but Julian Assange, bunged up over there in the Ecuadorian embassy, is he really such a bad character if he detects and finds out things like this? I mean, this is what he's in trouble for, isn't it?
I have some very strong views on Julian Assange, and I'm not a fan, I'll be honest. But you can't doubt that every bit of information WikiLeaks has published has been legitimate. It's been real, and they haven't deceived us in any way. The real question is, should we know this? Now, I kind of come from the school of thought, well, this stuff's been going on for forever and a day. Like, we're talking hundreds of years, people have been in espionage.
Yep.
So should we now be lifting the cover on espionage and potentially ruining what is, you know, national defense in some countries? So I don't know. I'm still on the fence on that one. I feel like it's the wrong thing to do. I think our privacy is being invaded every day in a million other ways, but we're not publishing that on WikiLeaks. So,
does a 12-year-old
come out of the embassy and face the charges he's up for? That's what I reckon.
Does a 12-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 50-year-old first-time Facebook user, how easy is it for them to know and understand when they sign on to do what everyone else is doing that all their information is for use, like you just said before, about what they look at?
I don't think anyone knows when they first sign up.
But that's not that's right, happening. Is it?
Look, absolutely.
Shouldn't that be spelled out a bit clearer?
It probably is spelled out. You know where? In
fine
those
print.
Fine print and terms and conditions. But who's reading those 10,000 pages? So, unfortunately, it's buyer beware, but it's also a case of us educating each other. And the number one tip I'll give people with Facebook and social media, especially Facebook, is go into your privacy settings and restrict every single thing you've ever said and posted to your friends and your friends only. So that, you know, random radio stations, let alone WikiLeaks and CIA, can't dig into what you've said in the past. And it's a great way of kind of locking down your privacy.
Go to privacy and then where do you
log on to Facebook. Go
He's
to privacy.
Doing it now.
Yeah,
Facebook, I'm not on Facebook. But I'm on
top right-hand corner, click on the privacy icon and then look for limit past post. It's
limit
a really great hits. Thing to do.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Good on you, Trev. Thanks
no
for that.
Thanks, Trev.
Yeah, that's right. Mate. There you go. Trevor Long, our technical expert, and he really knows his stuff.
Triple M.
Roo, last night on the Channel 9 footy show, Mick Gatto appeared. Now, I didn't get to see it. What happened?
Well, Sam Newman went to interview him because the day before it came out that Mick Gatto had been sourced by Essendon officials to try and help them get to the bottom of what had happened with Stephen Dank and Shane Charter and the whole Essendon saga. It just keeps on giving. A lot of people find a yawn, the Essendon stuff, but look, when Mick Gatto's part of it and Sam Newman's interviewing him, it's worth a listen.
With this one, I did get embroiled in it and I was approached.
Now, here's the question, Mick. Were you approached officially
by anyone from Essendon in an official capacity to try and sort out this saga?
I was.
Could I ask you who approached you?
No, it wouldn't be very professional of me to divulge it, especially publicly.
I knew you were going to say that.
I know.
So it was in an official capacity, an official of the Essendon Football Club?
Yep.
But what specifically, Mick, did they ask you to do?
Oh, they just wanted to find out what was going on with it all and what I could find out and just, you know, have a feel around. But
Mick.
But listen, before you go down that track...
Yes, all right.
I was approached by Shane Charters.
Right.
Now, Shane came and seen me and he said, mate, I've been hard done by here. He said, I can prove, beyond any shadow of doubt, that the supplement that they brought over here, the Thymiso-4, whatever it was, I can prove that it wasn't that, that it was something else.
It was legal.
He had compelling evidence that it was legal. We'd done a deal with some members of Essendon. We tried to do a deal. He wanted to be paid for it because of his hardship and what he's been dragged through. They wouldn't hand over, so they went and paid lawyers millions of dollars instead. Danks and Aluva, whatever his name was, they did order the Thymiosin 4, yeah. Which is illegal. Yeah?
Yes.
They did order that, but they didn't get that.
Did they order it for Essendon or for some other...
Whoever they ordered it for is their business. But what they received was illegal stuff. He can prove that. He's got compelling evidence to prove it.
Why hasn't Shane Charters come forward with this then, or has he? Have I missed something?
No, he just chose not to.
Well, that could have changed the whole course of it.
That's what Mick's just saying. If Essendon agreed to it, he would have.
Well, as of now, Mick has made that public. I would have thought that's going to be investigated, surely.
I don't know how it works, but he had a bit more to say.
Essendon, we're going to meet with you because Chartres organised a meeting, or this party from Essendon, this official from Essendon that you won't name, organised a meeting and then they backed out of it.
Yep. I have met with Essendon officials, which I won't publicly nominate, and tried to broker a deal.
And what would the deal actually involve?
A deal to pay Charters to divulge all this information.
So this is extraordinary, Mick, that you have been asked to try and resolve the greatest sporting scandal and fracas in Australian sports history by brokering a deal with Essendon for money to prove that Essendon had received no illegal substances and, in fact, had not been injected with anything other than what they said.
100%.
And Charters was to be paid $800,000. That's what he wanted from Essendon to come forward and tell.
$800,000?
Yep, that's what I said. Yep, last night on the footy show.
Kidding.
No.
Well, I wonder now if we're going to hear more about this. So can someone like Mick Gatto and Charters be subpoenaed now, if that's the right word, forced to come forward? I don't know if they can. Well, if they don't divulge all, isn't it then contempt of court?
Not quite sure of how that works, Ditz, but it's out there. That's on record. So if they can, they will.
Mm.
Absolutely. Interesting, though.
Pretty explosive stuff.
And they asked Sam last night if he believed what Mick said was true, and he said yes, and that's all you can do.
Mm.
You wouldn't think a bloke like that would just come out and make it up, would you?
No. Not live on TV nationally like that.
Interesting stuff, isn't it? Keeps giving, Essendon.
Are we going to have another couple of years of this story?
Well, Essendon have denied it now.
They're denying that. Well, hang on. So what Mick Gatto said, they've denied.
Yeah, they're saying Essendon didn't go to him. They're saying Mick went to them.
Ah, okay.
The vargy-bargy.
That changes the story a bit.
Mm.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
On Monday, it's the UBet Adelaide Cup, Roo, and as we know, there's a winner in every race.
Oh, spoken like a true punter. And now, the more you put on, the more you get back.
Thank you. I'm writing all these down.
God.
Now, Roo, the other thing, this is a great story, and I actually wanted to get this lady on International Women's Day because I think it's a terrific story. First ever lady or woman chairman of a jockey club. So the SAJC's brand
first ever anywhere.
First ever. Bodell Francis. Bodell, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Now, am I right in saying you're the first?
In South Australia for the SAJC, absolutely.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought it was in Australia.
Well, it's a bit of yes but no. So originally they thought that was the case, but apparently there is one in Queensland a few years ago.
Let's just forget about her for a minute.
Bugger.
You just bathe in the glory, okay, yeah. Bodell? Congratulations.
So, Roo, I'll just change it. First ever in the western suburbs of Adelaide.
Mm. Right, in the last hour.
In the last hour, that's right.
This week. Bodell,
we'll take it up, guys, it's fine.
Monday. The weather looks like it's going to be good. Plenty of people were heading down to Morpheville. What's going to be happening?
Oh, look, it's going to be a really exciting day. Absolutely, Roo. As I said, we're expecting a big crowd this year. As you mentioned, beautiful weather. And we're definitely going to put on a show. We've got plenty of different areas which we're trialling this year. So we've got something for everyone, really.
So tell us about those new areas. I did read a little bit, but when you say like different things like marquees and things, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so look, we've got the starting gate, which starts at a really reasonable price of $25 for people to get entry into an awesome area. Nice. We've got the Summer Bright Beer Garden, which we're trialling and starting this year. And probably the most exciting one, which we've started, is the Audi Solitaire VIP area. So
that is the place to be, guys. How much is that?
French, $450.
Whoa!
So, but it's been sort of marketed and it's got a vibe and a feel similar to the Birdcage. So it's really exciting time.
Because we hear a lot about the Birdcage during spring carnival time. So you've modelled it on that, have you?
We have, absolutely. Great. And we're really lucky. We've got some great sponsors, and obviously we're really grateful for UBet for sponsoring the Cup again. So lots happening.
Well, right. Now, your dad, Wayne Francis, is a trainer in his own right. Have you got anything that can win for us?
Yeah, give us a tip.
Anything
on,
from your stable that might go all right?
or anyone's. We've got that many ponies running around at the moment. I don't want to hone in at this point in time, so he'll shoot me otherwise. Dad hates giving away anything in the way of tips. All he does is sort of pat his nose.
Straight out. Right. What about Tex Walker's beautiful girlfriend, the ambassador for the Cup?
She is. She is.
Ellie?
The gorgeous Ellie. I actually got to meet her on Wednesday at the barrier draw, which actually went really, really well. So really excited to be able to work with her going forward. So
yeah, she's lovely.
What's her role for the day?
So she's the face of the Cup. So she's our Adelaide Cup ambassador. So she'll be walking around, making sure everyone's having a great time and showing that gorgeous face of hers.
Did we get considered at all? Roo and I have done a bit of modelling over the journey.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. We were going to get you down for one of the lads' days. I think Goodwood we had you signed up for, didn't we?
Right.
Now, I don't know whether you'd look good in a dress, though, did.
No. Now, Bodil, before you leave us, what's happening down at the Elephant and Castle today? What's good? Is it the T-bone, the rump, the sirloin?
Scotch fillet.
What's the best today?
I have to say we've got some great T-bones on special at the moment, but I did have an amazing eye fillet only yesterday. Great T-bones on special with a bit of sweet potato fries and bacon jam. Delicious.
Gee whiz, down at the Elephant and Castle. Yes, please. All right, hey, Bodil, have a great weekend. Good luck to everyone down at the SAJC. Have a big day Monday.
Thank you so much, guys. I hope you're back a winner.
There you go, Bodil. Now, she's very impressive, Roo. She's the new chairman of, or chairperson, we should probably say.
You can't say chairman.
No, or chair. I think she's the chair.
Okay, we'll go with chair.
Yeah, the chair of the SAJC, Bodil Francis.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
The celebrity who now must depart the jungle. It is Steve.
Yes! Hey.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Congratulations, Steve. Well done.
See you guys.
There you go, Steve Price, and I would have thought, Roo, you'd be jumping for joy. Get home, have a bloody steak, have a hamburger, have something. I don't know, steak sanger, anything.
Yeah, I've had enough of eating maggots and flies have a schooner. And bats. And
exactly.
Like
let's get him on. Steve Price, good morning.
What happened to all my Adelaide fans who were supposed to be voting to keep me in there?
Hey, we were voting. No, I thought you were going to win, Steve, for sure. What happened?
Boys, what? I don't know. I don't know what happened. You know what those Collingwood supporters are like? No teeth and tattoos. They were voting for that bloke, Dane Swan.
Yeah.
I reckon he's now going to win the bloody competition. It's very rough, I reckon.
You reckon Swanee will get the chocolates, do you?
Casey might just go past him, to be honest, Roo, but I think he's got that Magpie support. I hope it's not coming from the Port Power fans, but an Adelaide boy, and he comes from, I don't know, the western suburbs of Melbourne somewhere. You can't be supporting a good player, for God's sake.
No. Hey.
And now I've had my first hot shower, and this is 42 days. I used to have gone on, pre-season training camps, and I talked to Swanee about this when I was on there. I asked him what's the toughest thing he ever did. He said he went on some America once and Malthouse made him climb a mountain. He said this was tougher than doing that. So if Swanee reckons it's harder than pre-season training, I'll agree with him. It was damn hard, let me tell you.
Steve, why did you decide to go on a show like this? You're the last bloke I would have thought that would have went on it. What made you do it? Did Channel 10 make you? Was it the cash or was it the challenge?
It wasn't the cash. It wasn't Channel 10. It was turning 62, having both children leave home this year and go and get out into the real world. And I thought, you know, if you're ever going to do something completely crazy that takes you out of your comfort zone, and you've both done it, why not do it at that age? And I just wanted to prove to older Australians, and I hope my mum and dad, who are in their 80s, live in Jetty Road, Brighton, there in Adelaide, are listening to this. You're never too old to get out of bad habits and to change your the way that you live your life. My mum was yelling at me through about being fat and having a fat gut.
Nice.
I now have no guts at all. I've shed 10 kilos in 6 weeks. I weighed 81 when I went in. I weighed 71 when I came out. And I reckon it's put 10 years on my life. And I've done things like bungee jumping, eating fish eyes, ingesting, you know, kudu esophagus, whatever that is, being sprayed with elephant dung.
Beautiful.
I should say, not the other stuff. And I've survived. So you know, I'm really happy and proud that I did it. And I hope that you guys had some perverse enjoyment watching me go through torture.
It was fun. And you did lose a lot of weight. I reckon you lost a kilo of water when you were crying there for a while at one stage. You got a bit emotional. Let's have a listen to this.
When you get to my age, you realise that weekends with you, my children are disappearing because they're leaving home.
How hard was that? Did it just get the better of you there, Pricey, or what happened?
It's hard to listen back. It's hard to listen back to that. I hadn't heard that back. I haven't seen it back clearly. I haven't been out for a couple more than a... I haven't heard that, and it makes me tear up again. I teared up again at the end of the program talking about Carrie Bickmore's charity. But, yeah, that's hard to hear back. You know, I go on television on the project, and I've talked to you guys on your program before about, you know, tough political issues and issues where I'm pretty tough on people. And to break down in tears on national TV about a personal issue is not something that's... But that's what that experience does to you. And that was raw, real human emotion. I think all of us who are dads, ones who are listening to your show this morning in Adelaide would know that, you know, your kids are the most precious things to you. And when someone sends you a message when you haven't seen them for a while and it resonates... happens, you become a blubbering mess.
So are you going to be a changed man for the rest of your life, Pricey, you reckon, after that experience?
I think, I reckon Mark, it's put 10 years on my life. At 62, if you're carrying 10 kilos too much weight, your doctor says get better and get fit. It's changed me. I reckon I've changed some habits. And have a guess what? I lost a bet with Swans. And I've got to get DS tattooed somewhere on my body. I don't know if either of you can recommend where I might hide that tattoo. But how dumb is it to make a bet with a bloke like he does? So not only do I have to do it, I've got to do it at his shop and pay for it, which is really annoying me.
They hurt a little bit too.
Thanks for that. I didn't need to hear that. Thank you.
Well, Pricey, get on the kite, head home and have a very, very good feed. And let's hope you can keep the weight off and maintain your fitness. Well done. And thanks for talking to us this morning.
Good on you. Cheers, Adelaide. Love you.
Good on you. There you go, Stephen Price.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast catch up at triplem.com.au.